Welcome to the Lab Rats Podcast. You are now entering the maze.
Hey everyone, welcome to Lab Rats Podcast. I'm Andy Kraft.
And I'm Aaron Kraft.
And this is the official podcast of Health Act.
Health Act is a weekly health newsletter you can get delivered straight to your email inbox. It is health news without the hidden agenda, without the clickbait, the BS that you typically get with other health news outlets. Health Hacked is based on science, based on facts. It's short and sweet, straight to the point. Most importantly, we keep it light and humorous. For more information, check it out in the show notes.
So are we getting right into it or what?
Yeah, let's just dive right in. So we are going to talk about some travel hacks, travel tips, particularly around when it comes to eating, exercising, and sleeping. So, you know, we've been locked down for a year and a half. People really haven't traveled much for the past 12, whatever a year and a half is in months, 18 months. But people are starting to travel more now. So we want to cover that. You and I have both been traveling more lately. We were out in Vegas. We've been back to our hometown for a few weekends. I'm actually traveling tomorrow. I'll be flying up to Alaska. So there's a lot of traveling now. So we wanted to kind of talk about some of the most challenging things to do when you travel, which is eat healthy, exercise often, and sleep well. Those kind of just go all like straight out the window whenever you're trying to travel.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is figure out how can we minimize the damage. I think you're not going to be able to do what you regularly do at home, but we thought it might be helpful for us to share what we do in these three areas: eating / nutrition, exercise, and sleeping. Like, what are some of our ways that we try to, you know, minimize the damage when we do travel? So let's kick it off with eating.
Yeah. So for this one, this is a little bit different because you are eating on your way to the place. And then once you get there, you're also eating, where with like exercising and sleeping, you typically start that once you like settle into your final destination. So like, I want to split this one up into two questions. Like, what do you eat while you're traveling? So whether you're driving somewhere or flying somewhere, and then once you're actually at your destination, while you're there, like, how do you deal with food there? So first with driving and flying, what do you eat? Do you eat? How do you avoid like the crappy airport foods and all that?
Yeah, it's tough. Flying is the worst. I hate having to deal with food when I'm flying, because airport food is expensive and it sucks. And then, you know, plane food, it's not really food. They don't really feed you on the plane. So one thing, starting with flying, I try to prioritize nutrient density. So I try to eat a meal before I get on the plane so that I'm not hungry and that I don't need to snack. But if I do want a snack, like, I like having something on the plane. I try to do just really high protein, high fat. So beef jerky or beef sticks, nuts and dried fruit. Those are great. And water. I mean, that's really what I eat when I'm on the plane. That's really pretty much it. Stick with water. Sometimes I will do like just a 24-hour fast. Like, there really is no better time to practice some time-restricted eating than when flying. If you just tell yourself, I'm not eating this whole travel day, then you don't really have to worry about it. It's kind of a dumb answer. It's like, well, how do you eat when you travel? Well, don't eat. But I mean, honestly, like, sometimes I'll do that. I'll just, if we're on a long flight, I don't want to deal with food. I just do a fasting day. So
yeah. Or if you do intermittent fasting, then just kind of arrange that time frame to where, you know, that 18-hour period where you're not eating, arrange it to be while you're traveling. I mean, mine's pretty similar. I mean, I'm almost exactly the same. Like, I'll do meat sticks, and I'll name a few brands here because we like some specific ones. With like the meat sticks, Epic and Chomps are two pretty solid ones. They're pretty clean. Grass-fed, if that means anything to you. They don't have, like, no nitrates. I don't think they add sugar into most of them.
Right, which is hard. That's the hard thing about jerky, is they add a ton of crap to it. And these are pretty high quality. You're getting pretty much just meat and seasonings.
Yeah. So Epic and Chomps are good ones. There's plenty of other good ones out there too, but those are pretty accessible and they're in most retail stores. I'll just do like nuts, like a nut medley, and maybe I'll add some dry fruit to it. I'll just kind of make my own there, just buy different nuts, buy different dried fruit, mix it together. And then I'll do some bars as well. Like you said, prioritizing nutrient dense food, basically fat and protein. I avoid carbs when traveling, mainly because clean carbs are hard to get on the go. If it's a carb that's easy to eat on the go, it's probably a processed carb, which you want to avoid. And they're just not that filling. Like a bag of chips or a bag of pretzels, like it tastes good and it's fun to munch on it, but like really you're going to be hungry in like 30 minutes. So focusing on like fats and protein specifically will be much more sustaining throughout the trip. So with the bars, like I'll do, I don't know if you want to call them granola bars, but I'll do like RX bars, which are eggs, nuts, and fruit mixed in there. And then Go Macro bars, they're a vegan bar technically, but they're fine. They're honestly not the greatest. They do have some questionable things in there, but they have pretty high fat and protein content, and they taste really good. So RX bars, Go Macro bars, and Lara bars. Lara bars are more, if you want some carbs, those are pretty carb heavy, mainly because it has a lot of sugar from, I think dates is one of the main ingredients in those, but they're made with like dates and different like nuts. So also that's a vegan one as well. So
yeah,
meat sticks, nuts, dried fruit bars are all great, easy things to pack that are packed with, you know, protein and good fats.
Yeah. And another thing that I mentioned earlier, but driving is pretty much the same for me. I kind of follow the same strategies. But one thing that we do before we go on a long drive is we try to eat a big, you know, high calorie, nutrient dense meal before we get in the car. And I know that's tough because, you know, typically before you get on the road, you're packing, you're trying to clean up, maybe finish up some projects, finish up some work. And it's, you know, the last thing you want to do is sit down, cook or make a meal or heat up a meal. You just typically think, I'll just grab something on the go. But then you're stuck, at least we are, we're always stuck like with nothing to eat. It's like fast food, or you get stuck at a gas station, and gas station food is just terrible. So yeah, we do it. We really just like make the time to just eat a big meal, you know, beforehand, meat and veggies or a big hearty breakfast, just pack on the calories before getting in the car. And then you don't really have the need to snack throughout the drive. So that's been a big one for me. And then another one is I try to avoid sugary drinks. I mean, I don't drink sugary drinks very often. And I know it's tempting when you're in the car. Everyone loves to sip on, you know, I don't know. My Arnold Palmer was like my go-to back in the day, or I used to drink like the rock stars a while back. Haven't done that in a while. But sugary drinks make you more hungry. We talked about this, I think, on our sugar episode, is when you're drinking sugar, it actually like changes your I can't remember the hormone that interacted with now, but basically it leaves you feeling more hungry and craving more afterwards. So, you know, if you want to take it easier on the food when you're traveling, just cut out the sugary drinks. All right, before we keep going, I want to share some of the benefits of allowing Inside Tracker to look inside your body. I've talked vaguely about biomarkers, but I want to share like what metrics you actually get. So like I've said on previous episodes, Inside Tracker is blood and DNA testing made easy. It's way easier than trying to get this stuff through your doctor. There are multiple packages, but here's what metrics you get with a basic, the cheapest essentials package. So for like energy and metabolism, you get glucose, HbA1c, you get total cholesterol, HDL, LDL, triglycerides, and then you get creatine, your creatine levels, you get calcium and vitamin D. Vitamin D is very tough to get through your doctor. I tried to get it through my doctor, and that did not fly with her. So that's awesome. You get magnesium, folate, hemoglobin, ferritin. So that's what you get in the essentials package. Really, I like try requesting this all from your doctor and see how much it costs. For me, I got maybe half of that, and it cost me $250 with my doctor after insurance. And with Inside Tracker, it's $142 using code Lab Rats 25. It sounds like a lot, but I mean, think of like what you pay for your cable or your phone every month and the data that you get for that cost. Now, the ultimate package basically triples the biomarkers that you get. You get additional, I mean, you get a ton of other stuff, but you get testosterone, you get cortisol levels, you get vitamin B12, you get iron. And as we know, a lot of people are iron deficient. You get potassium, sodium, whole other list of stuff. And that is $442 after the discount. So you pay a little more for that, but it's awesome. And then you get, if you want to, you can find out your inner age, which is like your biological age. I did it and I'm 29, almost 30. And I came back and it said my biological age was 25 based on all my biomarkers. And that's $134, which is that one's really fun. Definitely recommend that one. Basically, Inside Tracker has made it possible to have transparency into what's going on inside you, which is something that you really don't get from our current broken, criminally run healthcare system. And even more important than that, it supports the podcast. I mean, if enough of you don't sign up, we're going to lose our contract with them, and nobody wants that. So go to insidetracker.com/labrats, and you can use code labrats25. Well, we are now midsummer. Things are heating up, and America's dad is back on the prowl, which means now more than ever, you just need to be conscious of what is in your drink. Whether it's your drink at the bar or simply your sports drink, you want to be careful about what you're consuming. And there are few electrolyte drinks out there that I actually trust, and Element is by far the best one. It's 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium in one little pack that you just put in water. No sketchy ingredients, so you can consume it without any health consequences or any lifelong psychological consequences. No sugar, no dyes, no artificial flavors. Just, it's good. It's good stuff. Clean. And I think one thing that, you know, we don't mention on here a lot, but like, hydration is more than just water. It's electrolytes too. So if you sweat a ton and you're only replenishing with water, you're going to have an electrolyte imbalance. So to avoid that, you can drink Element and get yours at drinkelementtea.com/labrats. The new grapefruit flavor is amazing. Even if you don't like grapefruit, it does not taste like grapefruit, the fruit. It's much more mild, really good. And we get a little kickback from your purchases, helps us pay the bills. So go check it out, drinkelementtea.com/labrats.
All right, so what about any like tips once you get there? Those are, you know, cover the basics when you're driving. Basically meat, nuts, and bars, and then avoid sugar, avoid carbs. Just stick to good, clean fat and protein. But once you get there, I mean, sometimes it's easy if you're there for just like a weekend. You can kind of get by with just eating whatever is in that, you know, your location. But sometimes you're, you know, there for a week or two. So what are your recommendations or like go-to when you're staying somewhere for an extended period of time?
This is tough, and it really kind of depends. I mean, for a long period of time, like with Katie's diet for her MS, I mean, we would literally make all our meals ahead of time and bring a huge cooler, or we'd bring all our ingredients to cook ahead of time, and we were just really strict about it. Mm-hmm. Since she's pregnant now, your MS goes into remission, which is nice for a short period of time, and her appetite has completely shifted. So she's not eating exactly the same thing. So that we have a little more flexibility there for the time being. But we try to, regardless, we try to do some grocery shopping when we get there, you know, even if it's just, like a Walmart or a local grocery store, we try to get, and you know, we don't cook every meal for the entire week, but just try to get something to get some good nutrients. If you don't know what's going to be there.
Yeah. I think making at least like one store run like on that first day is a huge factor into like how the rest of the week is going to look. I mean, either pick up just like the essentials, like if you have, you know, five staple foods like beef, milk, butter, whatever, if you just have five staple or some fruit and veggies as well, like if you have just your staple foods, just pick up like 5-10 staple foods and just kind of intermittently eat those throughout the week, or just like focus on one meal, like maybe pick breakfast and be like, I'm gonna make myself breakfast every morning. And yeah, then the rest of the day can, you know, play out as it be. But just focus on like one thing. Like I'm going to have a good, nice, clean, you know, egg breakfast every morning or something like that. But yeah, basically just going to the store, getting a few things to get you by, things that you are used to eating, things that are healthy and clean and easy to prep.
Yeah. And I think another thing when it comes to travel is applying the 80-20 rule. I'm pretty, really utilize that 80-20 rule when I'm traveling, which is, you know, 80% of the time you want to eat well, 20% of the time, give yourself some flexibility. And I feel like all my 20% is when I travel. like back in December, I went on a trip with a buddy and I mean, it was fast food every meal.
Yeah. And, so what did you, I mean, I'm interested. What did you eat when you could only eat fast food? Like when that was literally your only choice. And sometimes it is, if you're traveling through like no offense, West Virginians, but when you're traveling through West Virginia,
right,
you don't have many options other than McDonald's and Wendy's at an exit every 50 miles.
Right.
What do you do? What did you eat when you stopped? I don't know if we've talked about this before on this, but what did you eat at those fast food places?
I don't remember. I mean, I think I typically try to do like, if I'm doing like a sandwich, some sort of like grilled chicken, because I feel like that's probably relatively safe. Like a grilled chicken sandwich or a grilled chicken wrap or something. I mean, I know it's terrible, but like, I still like enjoy Taco Bell. I actually got some last time I traveled, I stopped and I got like some bean burritos, and those aren't even real beans, but, it was fine. I don't know. It's tough. Like fast food is so hard, but look, sometimes like that's just the situation you're in. Like I'm not going to be, you know, you're not gonna, I don't know. I try not to be, I don't know the word I'm looking for, pretentious about it. Like, oh, I don't eat this stuff. It's like, look, I mean, I don't have an autoimmune condition that's going to flare up if I eat this stuff. I can handle it for a bit and just, you know, apply the 80-20 rule and I'll eat better when I get back. Sometimes that's just the situation.
Yeah. I think with traveling, like you're certainly not looking for perfection, especially if you are traveling for like vacation, like you're probably even a little bit more lenient than an 80-20, maybe 70-30, 60-40, depending on who you are. But you're basically just looking to, I mean, at least me personally, and I think a good rule of thumb is like, you're just looking for maintenance. Like don't get down on yourself and like beat yourself up if you can't maintain this perfect schedule you had at home.
Yeah.
Like it's impossible. It really is. So give yourself some grace. 80-20 is a good rule to go by, definitely, while you're traveling.
Yeah, I agree. All right. I think we probably covered everything we could in terms of eating when traveling. Let's get into exercising now. So it's also another tough one, because if you regularly go to a gym or you have a workout equipment at your house, you know, that may be your go-to, but you don't have that a lot of times when you go to a hotel, or maybe you're going to somebody else's home and they don't have that. So what do you typically do? I'm sure it depends on where you're traveling. That's probably the biggest factor, but like, how do you typically think about or approach exercise when you're out of town?
If it's just like a weekend, I typically don't think about it. Like if I'm gone Friday through Sunday, I don't think about it. I'll try to get a workout in on that Friday. That way I'm only going 2 days without a workout, which is not uncommon to do. So if it's a weekend, I don't put much thought into it. If it's going to be 3 days or more though, I do try to be a little bit more prepared. So if it's somewhere I'm physically driving to, I do throw in just two pieces of equipment into the car. I do a warm-up band, so just like a band, an exercise band. I like to use it to warm up my shoulders and my hips, and just it's a good warm-up. So I bring that. Doesn't take up any space. And then in terms of like actual workout equipment, I'll bring either – I kind of switch it up, but either a set of dumbbells or a kettlebell. Mm. Like with just those two things, I pick one or the other. You can bring both. But with just those two pieces of equipment, you can do anything. Like there's endless amounts of things you can do with just those two pieces of equipment. I actually, when I worked at an accounting firm, I did a ton of traveling. So I'd be out of town for weeks at a time. So I would do a lot of just like hotel workouts where you're just in your room and you just do a workout in your room with body weight or with a single piece of equipment. And one thing that I really like, there's this this app called SmartWOD, workout generator. So if you're somebody who does not like to come up with your own workouts, or if you just like have no idea where to start, It's a really great app because you can like pick what pieces of equipment you have. You can say like, I have a jump rope, I have dumbbells and a kettlebell, and then it will auto generate like a workout for you. So I really enjoy that. If you're somebody who just can't think of a workout or just don't want to think about it, like bring just a single kettlebell, get this app, and it will just automatically generate a bunch of different workouts. So I think that's a great option for people who are just traveling somewhere local. One piece of equipment is more than enough.
Or no equipment at all. Like you mentioned that app. I mean, there are also tons of workout videos on YouTube, or Beachbody has a ton of workouts. I think you have to subscribe to get those, but I'm a big fan of Sean T's Insanity. I just did one of those yesterday. Great, short 20 to 30 minute intense body weight workouts. So I like doing those, and you can, you know, just put them on your laptop. A little difficult to do in a hotel room, but I have done it multiple times in a hotel room. I think those are good ones. Another thing is just like moving, some sort of movement, like walking or running. Like when we go up to Indiana, when I, you know, go home to Fort Wayne, we typically go to Dad's CrossFit gym.
Yeah.
But some days we just don't, we're just busy. And so like Katie and I will go and walk around the neighborhood, or, you know, jog around the neighborhood, stuff like that. And it doesn't even have to be like setting aside time for exercise. Like when I go to Ohio and visit, my other side of my family, I like play games with the nieces and nephews. Like we get some intense games of spike ball going, or, you know, playing tag, or we did some like dancing the other week when I was up there swimming. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can do, especially in the summer, that is just, it's movement. Like that's a workout. You're getting the heart rate up, you're running around, and it's fun. So I think that's a good alternative too. Like find a fun way to play games or do some sort of movement with family.
Yeah. I think especially if you're flying somewhere and like bringing equipment is not an option, then just find things to do, like go for walks, go for runs. If you're on vacation, like go for hikes and swims and stuff like that. There's plenty of things to do just as a body weight workout, which you have to do if you're flying anywhere. Or you can drop into to gyms and stuff, and it's fun to do that. Try different gyms. Especially I know people in the CrossFit community like to do that. Realistically, it's hard to fit that into a schedule when you're traveling. So just move your body every day. Like it doesn't have to be a set workout. Just stay active, stay moving. Don't just be sedentary the entire time.
Jump rope is another good one that you can, like, I'll just throw my jump rope in my suitcase. It's very light and thin, and I mean, you can construct a very easy workout from that, where you just alternate between jump roping and some sort of, you know, push-ups, squats, whatever. So there's a lot of like little things like that you can do.
Yeah, a weight vest is another one I like to pack with me occasionally. Because again,
if you're driving, it looks like like a bomb vest if you take it on the flight.
I would not bring a weight vest onto an airplane.
Yeah,
you'll get checked for sure.
Okay,
alrighty. I think that's it for exercising. I mean, again, 80-20 rule there as well. Like, just, it's not going to be perfect. You're not going to be getting all these gains in a 2 week, 1 week trip. The goal is maintenance. The goal is just not to go downhill. Yeah. Now the third one, and I think the one I struggle with the most is sleeping, like how to sleep well while traveling. Actually this one, let's talk about while you're traveling. This one does apply here to while you're traveling. And then once you get there, so what are tips, like, whether you're driving and flying, you might have similar tips, but what do you do? Like, do you try to sleep when you're on a plane or in a car?
If I'm driving, I try not to sleep. That's just a general rule of thumb that I follow. But I guess I'm driving most of the time, so I don't generally. Yeah. I love sleeping in a car though. Like I sleep great in a car. Just like something about like the humming and the noise.
It's a lot easier than a plane.
Oh, planes are rough, but the game changer for me is a sleep mask. I remember, like, before any time, my whole life, I would sleep on a plane. I would just jerk awake. You know, those hypnic jerks we talked about in some of our sleep episodes. And I mean, it would look like I'm having a seizure because I would just jolt awake. And for me, that's triggered by light, or sound, I guess. But a sleep mask, I know this. I put those on a plane, goes away. I actually bring these headphones, my podcasting headphones, because they're like, I don't know if they're technically noise cancellation, but they go around your whole ear. And I'll just put like some sleep sounds on or some music or a podcast, put on my sleep mask, and I'll doze off.
Are you able to, I hate sleeping on planes so much, and I'm getting on one tomorrow and I'm dreading it so much.
How long is that flight?
It is 4.5 to Seattle and then 3.5 to Alaska.
That's two long flights.
I know.
And oh, I have a story about sleeping on a plane. So, okay. I took a red eye. I had a work trip out to Salt Lake City and I had a red eye back to Charlotte. First time I ever did that. And I thought it was a great idea. I was like, yeah, sweet. Like midnight, you know, the flight was literally midnight. Oof. And it was a 4 or 5 hour flight. And it was dark. The plane was freezing. I was actually wearing this t-shirt. It was just a thin black t-shirt and the plane was freezing. And what I did is I put the tray down and then I just laid down on it. I put my arms in front of me, laid my head down, which that actually is probably for me, the best position to sleep
in. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you is like, do you try to lay, like some people just like put their head back and it's like,
oh, I don't know how they do that.
It's not angled at all. It's like you're in like a 90-degree position.
Yeah. And then my head always just falls. Like, yeah. And the neck pillows don't work. Those are useless for me. I know. Like they just slide off. So I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, I was leaning forward and I had fallen asleep probably for, I don't know, a while, maybe an hour. And I woke up and I sat up and like, dude, I don't know what happened, but my head just started spinning like crazy. Like I've never been so dizzy my entire life. Like everything around me was like literally spinning. And I'm like, man, what is going on? What is going on? It must have just been the blood and the pressure, you know? Yeah. And then I got extremely nauseated, like from the spinning. And I'm like, I'm going to puke. And I was in the window seat and there's two people beside me.
Oh,
I literally got the bag out. I'm like, just deep breath. Like, please don't puke. And like, it probably lasts for like 30 minutes, just this spinning. Jeez, and it was last time I'll ever take a red eye. And it was like the worst flying/sleeping experience I've had. But it was something about, I think, being way up there, like leaning forward, something about the blood drained in my head or what, but
interesting.
So maybe that's not the best sleeping position, but how do you typically try to sleep in a plane?
Honestly, on a plane, I can't sleep. I've tried so many times. I got lucky the last time I went to Alaska. Me and Mariah each got our own like row. I forget what happened, but we basically each got our own, or we had like a whole row to ourselves. We got like a nice upgrade. I forget what happened. We just got upgraded for some reason. We had a ton of space. So I just like laid down like across the seats. That's the only time I've ever slept on a plane. Like I just can't. I try to sleep forward. I just can't get comfortable. But I do to try to sleep. And in a car, what I do that actually does work is sleep mask. That's a big one. Canceling out the noise with the headphones is good. Always bringing like a hoodie with you because it gets freezing on planes. I mean, that's it. I don't honestly have much tips for sleeping while traveling because I'm so bad at it. I mean, those are really the big ones that people do utilize and have the greatest effect. This one really is a person by person thing. Like you can create the perfect like the most ideal environment in a plane or in a car. That really just comes down to the person. Like it's very hard. It's not like if only you change this, you'd be able to sleep. People are different.
Yeah.
And you can have the perfect setup and still not be able to sleep in those locations. And it sucks. It's not ideal, but a lot of that comes down to the person, how good or how well you can sleep in these environments.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, my biggest recommendation with sleeping on a plane is get a private jet with a bed in it and sleep good. Yeah. Okay. So then once you get to this location, again, this is highly variable. Whether you're sleeping in a hotel for like a work trip or visiting friends or family, going on vacation. This one is really tough for me because my sleep gets so messed up when I travel, just like sleep schedule, and I'm all thrown off. Typically stay up later when I travel. But things that I still try to do when I go somewhere is like the sleep mask because I take the sleep mask whenever I travel because, and it's, I'll mention the brand. It's Now I'm blanking on the brand. Manta is one that's pretty good, and then the Mindfold, that's what it's called.
Yeah,
it's cheap. It's like $15 on Amazon. I take that wherever I go because you have no idea. A lot of times, you have no idea what the light situation is going to be like. Like last year, I was sleeping at a buddy's house, and I was in the main room, and there was literally like a lamp post right outside the window with no curtains on it, and it was like the room was like lit up. So. Fortunately, I had my sleep mask. That's a game changer. I take my blue light blocking glasses whenever I travel. I still use my phone hack where I take the blue light out of the screen. I'll, you know, put noise on my phone because you don't know what the noise situation is going to be like if you have a fan. So I'll use like the app? Sleep Pillow is a good app, or Sleep Stream. I'll do that. And then you mentioned hoodie, like on a plane. I think even if it's the summer, I'll take that wherever. Because, again, you don't know what the situation is going to be like where you're sleeping. I'll take some thermal socks. Just, you can always take clothes off, but you want to make sure that you're not going to be freezing when you're sleeping. And then, sometimes I will take some melatonin. I don't really like to become dependent on melatonin, but if I'm going somewhere and I need to get sleep and the sleep situation is terrible, it's nice because melatonin can just knock you out. So,
I think the goal is to make your sleep environment as close to your home sleep environment as possible. And like the three variables are light, sound, and temperature. Like if you can control, and comfort of the bed, which you can't really control that, but light, sound, and temperature are the three big ones that you want to try to mimic what you have at home. So if at home your room is nice and dark, like, and you maybe have blackout curtains or you just don't have a lot of light on the street you live on. A sleep mask is a great thing with noise. If you typically sleep with a fan at home, bring either a fan or have a white noise app. Same with temperature. If you like it really cold or really hot, like bring those things that you can control and try to make your travel environment as close to your home environment as possible. It'll just make it a lot more comfortable. Bring your own pillow. That's a big one. You can't really control the sheets or the mattress, but just a pillow. If you have your pillow from home, then that's one more comfort, one more thing that's closest to your home environment that will help you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. I mean, not every situation is ideal, but these are some things that, that we do personally that have helped us, and everyone's going to start traveling again. So, that's it. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Our first episode in a long time that has been under 30 minutes. So, success.
Yeah. Enjoy the extra 10 minutes of your life that we didn't steal from you and waste.
and everyone traveling, safe travels, and Aaron, safe trip to Alaska. Have fun.
Thank you.